No, I am. I just she let the kitty out of the bag. I was going to say, what do we talk about today? Oh, I got an idea. Jacob's trouble. That should take about 20 minutes or so, I guess. It might be appropriate at this time of year, as we approach this season, to consider a subject that, though we know about it, I don't know how much we know about it or how much we've thought about it. I went online and tried to look up this subject, and I was amazed how few, if any, people understand what it means or what it implies. The time of Jacob's trouble. We know this is a factor in the end time events. But it's not the Great Tribulation. It may encompass the Great Tribulation, but it's a separate situation that involves basically the peoples of Israel, Jacob. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, we read, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it." This is a unique experience. "It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The time of Jacob's trouble. We can sort of tell from the context here that it's talking about something that's unprecedented. Even though there have been troubled times throughout history, this one is different. And is different because of the degree of severity that's involved and who it involves, because this is primarily a situation that involves just one particular ethnicity. Now, the Great Tribulation affects all the world. So just from that, we can see that Jacob's trouble is distinct in a way. It may be part of the picture of the Great Tribulation, but it is still a separate condition as we progress towards the time of the end. What is the time of Jacob's trouble? It's very likely that Jacob's time of trouble will be the lead-up to the world events that are to come. In other words, we might see this developing first as a precondition to that time of great tribulation that's going to affect the entire world. Our traditional view is that these troubles will be imposed upon us by an outside force, basically. That's sort of our understanding. One of the sites that I went on to research this was United's site, and they sort of reflect that the time of Jacob's trouble is basically the point in time when other nations are going to impose situations upon us. That may be partly true. But I think we need to broaden our understanding, to broaden our comprehension a little bit, to understand that some of these troubles are not entirely externally applied. That Jacob's trouble can involve our own doing. We can bring it upon ourselves. Think back when Israel, back in the land, was taken captive. It was because of something they did themselves that made that outcome necessary. The same could be true in our time. It could be something we're doing ourselves that gets us into trouble that requires corrective action. God says He's going to correct His people. We'll read that in a little while. But in these preliminary remarks, I want to just pose the idea that maybe we should be looking at something a little broader in scope than just foreign powers working against us. our idea of Jacob's trouble has been primarily a captivity. There was a captivity in years past, of course, in history. Both houses of Israel, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, were both taken into captivity because of their national sins. Separately, of course, the northern house was taken captive by a different people a century and a quarter before the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah returned to the land. They retained the Sabbath, and they retained their identity. But the northern house never returned. They are dispersed to this day. And that's somewhat relevant to what I want to bring here. The original captivity was a result of national sins. That's something we need to think about. National sins. A whole nationality can get themselves into a course of action that is against God and against the ways of God. That's what happened in the past. Except for those national sins, what happened wouldn't have happened. Jacob's trouble is a definable condition, and it's regarded as applying to a particular ethnicity. Of course, to understand correctly what is meant by the term, we need to know exactly who Jacob is. And why does he say Jacob as opposed to using some other name? Simple reason: Jacob is the father of the entire nations of Israel. Using the term Jacob tells us that this applies not only to the Jews, but to the house of Israel as well. Jacob encompasses the whole 12 tribes. So it's the whole 12 tribes that are going to be in this time of trouble. Online, they always convert that to Jews. They say, oh, this is just talking about the Jews. Well, it's not just talking about the Jews. That's the point. It's talking about the entire peoples who have descended from Jacob through many tribes. Jacob represents all of the 12 tribes. We tend to think in terms of the Josephites, Ephraim and Manasseh. When we picture what is meant by time of Jacob's trouble, that's who we usually think of. And they are certainly major representations, but it includes the Jews as well. Jacob's trouble involves them also, as well as the descendants of the 12 tribes, or the other 10 tribes, wherever we might see them as being. Jacob's trouble is not just the United States and the United Kingdom. It includes much of the European Union as well. Most of the nations of Northwestern Europe. Jacob's trouble is going to involve a major portion of this world. We need to keep in mind that this is talking about all the tribes, not just a few. The Great Tribulation, on the other hand, is defined as a period of time just prior to the Second Coming. The Great Tribulation involves the whole world. That's different. It's more intense. And we know basically the time frame and the duration of the Great Tribulation. But Jacob's trouble might start before that. And I want to explain to you why I'm suggesting that. We have to wonder if the two witnesses have something relevant to this time of Jacob's trouble. And I would say, no, they cut in later. The two witnesses, basically, their ministry is confined within the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the latter half of it at least. So no, if we're looking for the two witnesses to be the key point for the beginning of Jacob's trouble, no, that I think would cut in a little later. The Great Tribulation will begin after the time of Jacob's trouble has begun. However, Jacob's trouble would be an indicator of the Great Tribulation soon to come. What will start all of this? We need to ask ourselves the question, which nations of the world right now are responsible for the stability that we see? Now, you could say this world is not stable. Well, it could be a lot worse. But there are nations who are strong enough to impose their will and to keep things quiet where wars could otherwise break out. When those nations are demoted in ability or power, what is going to happen? What will it be like? And I think that would be the time of the Great Tribulation, when the nations that are accounting for the stability in the world are taken away from that function. What nations are they? They're basically the West, and they're basically Europe. We're sure not getting a lot of stability out of the Middle East. And things aren't looking good in South Asia, are they? The loss of those stabilizing powers will cause a great instability. When they're removed from the world scene, the world at large is then susceptible to a great political military exploits of evil regimes. And there certainly are evil regimes in this world. Jeremiah, you might want to note down, Jeremiah 46 and Isaiah 11, including other passages, suggest some form of national captivity that will have taken place. And we'll read some of that in a few minutes here, but I just wanted to have you make note of that. So why would Jacob be identified as being in such stressed conditions when the world has seen many tribulations over the centuries, particularly in the last century? Was World War II in Europe or in the Far East a troubled time? God is telling us the real Great Tribulation is going to be far worse than that. Nothing like it. Unprecedented in history. Well, what's unique about it? Why is the time of Jacob's trouble identifiable as a separate condition? Let me pose to you. It's simply because God is working with His chosen people, the people He chose to be the religious leaders in the world to come. They were supposed to have been that through history, but they didn't. They left. They broke their covenant with God. They left the truth that they understood. They accepted pagan religions. They abandoned their knowledge of God. And so, from that time till now, they have not fulfilled their commission. God hasn't given up on them. And again, we'll read that in a minute. But God wants His holy people to fulfill the role that He assigned to them. They were supposed to be an example to the world, showing a respect for their Creator, enjoying the blessings that come from obedience. But they've wholly forsaken the holy covenant that they made with Him. It kind of describes the world condition that we see right now. In Daniel 11:32, it's just a quick line, let me read it to you. It talks about those who do wickedly against the covenant. They'll be corrupted by flatteries, but the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we have a general society that has not only forsaken the covenant, but done wickedly against it. And they are susceptible to being corrupted by the political systems in which they live. You could also reference verse 22 and verse 30 of that same chapter. God repeats it. And any time God repeats something, it's important. But we have these people who have forsaken the covenant. We could ask ourselves who they are. I think it's obvious, but we can draw our own conclusions there. Jeremiah 33:26. He sort of talks about this condition. He says, "Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them." God's saying that they were to lose their royal line, their kings, and their political heritage. And that certainly has happened since the 600s B.C. Move up to Jeremiah 46, 27 and 28. And in this we can pick up the sense that God is explaining the reason for doing what he's doing with his people Israel. He says, Jeremiah 46, 27, 28, "But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in rest at ease, and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven you, but I will not make a full end of you. But I will correct you in measure, yet I will not leave you wholly unpunished." Now there's a sobering realization in that statement, but at the same time, buried within it, there is a hope that the overall outcome of this is going to be a people that God has corrected and made suitable to fulfilling his purpose for them. Let's move up to Zechariah chapter 12. And this certainly points to the end times. So we know that these statements are relevant to the days ahead of us. Zechariah 12, verses 2 to 6. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the peoples of the earth be gathered together against it." Let's move to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 16. Isaiah 11. And this is speaking of Israelitish peoples being brought out from captivity. Verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day of the time they came up out of Egypt." At this time, there's going to be another Exodus-like experience, where God is going to bring those that he has corrected out of their situation. But we can see from Daniel chapter 11:32 that we read that there's going to be political betrayals within, but at the same time there's going to be the opportunity to do exploits. Let's read that verse again. And as such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So the time of Jacob's trouble is not the time when the peoples of Jacob can't do anything. There's going to be those within that know what's happening. They know why it's happening. And they're going to have the opportunity to explain to others why God is doing what he's doing. They're going to have the opportunity to do exploits, can you imagine? I want to read Jeremiah chapter 30 because it's probably the key passage of Scripture that relates to this subject. Let's go there, beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah 30. And this gives us a broader picture of the time and the reason. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write you all the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. And he would do that because this is for a future generation. Verse 3, For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. Israel and Judah, says the Lord. So this isn't just the Jews. And it doesn't exclude the Jews. But who is Israel? For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Also notice, Judah and Israel weren't taken captive together back in ancient times. They were taken separately, by different nations. One returned and one did not. So this picture of them both coming back together is obviously referring to a later time. Verse 4, And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned unto paleness? The time of Jacob's trouble is going to get that intense. And here's the key verse. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So there's a dire aspect of this, but there's also a hopeful aspect. Verse 8, For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds. And notice this, And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. This explains the nature of their captivity, if we want to call it that. It's not necessarily deportation, but it's certainly exploitation. Verse 9, But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That has to be the millennial age. So it's certain that this passage applies to the end times. Verse 10, Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. At least those people who are aware of what's happening and why. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all the nations, whither I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you. But I will correct you in measure. That's the point of all this. I will correct you in measure and will not leave you altogether unpunished. For thus says the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. A lot of that is self-inflicted. There is none to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. Nothing's going to fix this. Nothing that we can do is going to fix it. All your lovers have forgotten you. Now we know we're talking about things on a national level. Our allies. All your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. Is that relevant to today's world? Verse 15. Why do you cry for your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your sins. Because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Jacob's trouble is going to be imposed for a good reason. Therefore, all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil you shall be a spoil. And all they that prey upon you will I give for a prey. For I will restore the health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this Zion, whom no man seeks after. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. He's talking about a great restoration of the environment and of the culture and of the true religion of God. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. We're looking at the outcome of all this. This is where Jacob's trouble is going to lead, ultimately. Verse 20, their children shall also be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, says the Lord. To cap it off, it says, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Not something that we can say today, for sure. Let's skim through a few verses in the Psalms. Interesting comments. Psalm 14:7. The psalmist says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Up a few chapters to Psalm 53:6. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, almost a repeat of the previous one. When God brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Psalm 69:35. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. Jeremiah 3:14. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now, considering the fact that the time of Jacob's trouble is something in addition to the Great Tribulation, that it will probably begin before the full application of the troubled times that are to come. What conditions should we be looking for? When will it begin? Has it begun already? I'm going to pose some things to you that might suggest that we're already moving into it. What about withheld blessings? Is that an indicator? Do we remember last spring when the Midwest was flooded so badly they couldn't even plant, let alone get out into the fields? There's snow right now in western Montana that's burying unharvested crops. The fields aren't fully harvested yet. And we aren't even into the earthquake phase that the Bible prophecy talks about. There's going to be earthquakes, major earthquakes. We're not to that point yet. But these are just some of the things that we see already. We got political troubles. And we tend to think of just here. No, the whole peoples of Israel have political troubles right now. The United Kingdom is so evenly divided, they're in this Brexit mess. They can't resolve that. And when they do resolve it, it's not going to solve the problem. The political turmoil is going to continue. Israel right now is so evenly divided, their current president can't even form a government without forming a coalition. They are evenly split and could go either way. Europe, united Europe, is not all that united. These are all the peoples who have descended from the 12 tribes of Israel. We've got enormous political troubles looming. When the Brexit split happens, the pundits are all predicting that that's going to destroy united Europe. Now keep in mind, united Europe is where the beast will arise from. And consider the political direction in this country right now. Because this administration has set itself against the extreme threat of the globalist world order. Those that want to run the world the way they want to run it are very unhappy because they're under threat. Project that out into its long-term consequences. Think about 5 years from now. What if a corrupt, lying, hateful political operatives gain control? What will that be like? It seems possible. We find all of these peoples of Israel right now are equally divided politically. There's unresolvable differences all throughout the nations that are descended from Jacob. And what if it got so impossible that you couldn't resolve anything either way politically? What if it were to develop into a shooting civil war? We think, oh, that can't possibly happen. I sure hope it can't. But it could. Jacob's trouble could be a lot more drastic than we ever could imagine. We've got immigration troubles. Well, guess what? So does Europe. all the people that want to immigrate, guess where they want to go? To the nations that are enjoying the blessings of Abraham. Do you see massive immigration towards any other peoples? The peoples of Israel have immigration problems, not just here. Europe is probably worse, we just don't hear about it as much. Economic troubles. We have so much debt that if every house in the United States were sold and all of that money given, it wouldn't pay off our national debt. Every house in the country could not pay off our national debt right now. And it's getting bigger and it's getting worse. And Europe isn't a whole lot better off. But any number of these things could explode into real serious trouble. In Daniel 11, we read about those who forsake the covenant. That is our condition. That's already happened long ago. There is a deep state in the world that is able to corrupt the political system with flatteries and a good deal of money, I'm sure. We have deep state operatives that infect the United States and European governments that are deeply corrupt. Are we paying attention to these things? I don't think the people in this country are. I don't know that the world is. We have the situation where the Europeans are going to want to conquer the Middle East. Daniel 11 explains all of that, particularly from verse 29 on. Jesus Christ himself told us that particular passage of Scripture applies to the end time. It's the passage of Scripture that talks about the abomination of desolation being set up. That is end time. The king of the north is going to want to conquer the king of the south. A cult power coalition of nations. The beast power is the king of the north. The beast power is basically European. We haven't really thought about that. But we understand that the nations of northwestern Europe are basically the descendants of the 12 tribes. Now, there's some that have speculated that the beast is going to be Jewish. Might be right, but not in the way they think. Number one, he is very likely going to be an Israelite descendant. And on the other hand, most, if not all, of the royal families of Europe are fully or partly Jewish. I'll leave that where it is. But in today's world, not just here in this country, but certainly here, we have an increasingly perverted culture. Don't have to look far to realize that. We have falsely based sciences. They're teaching stuff that isn't true, a lot of it. Start with evolution. We have a severely misguided educational system. From the grade school level on up, and particularly in higher places of higher learning, pardon my French, but there's teaching crap. We know that. Just listen to some of it. Look at the results. Okay? And we have corrupted apostate religion everywhere you look. Our society basically carries an unrelenting contempt for God and the things of God. The Apostle Paul reminded us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. There are spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. Granted, the people are complicit. They may be deceived. They may not know what they're really doing. They think they're right. But there are spiritual forces working behind the scene. God sees these invisible forces, and they're being used to bring things to a head where God can begin to correct Jacob. We're reminded, and we read this earlier, that during Jacob's trouble, there will yet be a remnant doing exploits. The opportunity is going to still be out there. We need to be aware, and we need to be able to see those opportunities and to pursue them with all of our might. That's what God wants of us. So in the time of Jacob's trouble, we have two things. Number one, it's a very dire situation. And number two, Israel is going to be rescued out of it. God's hand is on all of this that's developing. It's both dire, but it's also hopeful, particularly to those of us who know what God is doing. And that's where we need to pay attention. Keeping abreast of what's going on in the world to see what God is doing.